Welcome to the Antioch Initiative Podcast, a podcast about the unreached and topics related to giving them access to the good news of Jesus.
Hi, this is Nick with the Antioch Initiative Podcast, and today we have a special guest with us, Pastor Mark Dean from Minnesota, the district superintendent there. Pastor Mark, thank you for joining us today.
It is great to be with you, Nick. Looking forward to our few minutes together here.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Mark, the first time I met you was in India, actually, a few years back when we were serving there. And you had come on a trip. My wife had knew you for many years before in Bible quiz. But that was amazing. I think it was 2014. You'd come out to India. And if I remember right, your grandfather was a missionary in India a few moons back, I guess, right?
Yes, he was. It was a few moons, definitely a while ago. I remember that very, very clearly, not his days there, but our days with you there, as we had the privilege of retracing my grandfather's steps. God had called him as a 46-year-old widower to India, and in 1916, he went to India, ministered in a place called Lucknow, small town by India standards, but it's not all that small, about 4 million people, I think. And you were a part of that with us and led us through that city, you and Marseille. It was so fun to be there with you.
Yeah, well, Lucknow is a dear place in our hearts. It's the capital of the largest state in India. Uttar Pradesh, with over 200 million people, would be one of the largest countries in the world if it were a country. Mm. But that was a great time. And just traveling around with you a little bit. And of course, since that time, you've had a transition in your role, because at that time you were serving as the DYD or the youth director for Minnesota. Yep. And for the past several years now, you've been the superintendent. How many years now? I've lost track how many years you've been superintendent here in Minnesota.
Yeah, we served as the district youth director from 1844 to
1844.
It wasn't quite that long, but we served a long time. It was 2017 that we made the transition. So just 4 years ago that we moved from the assignment of the district youth director, which it was near and dear to our hearts. We loved for actually 28 years, a long stint, and we were blessed to serve in that capacity. And 4 years ago, God opened the door for us in this capacity to serve as superintendent.
Well, you've done an amazing job. And one of the reasons we're having the conversation today is because of your heart for missions, which is quite evident. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in Minnesota in missions. I think you were saying something like in 2016, in AGWM areas giving, the district was around number 10. Is that correct? Something like that?
Yeah, I think 2016, we were number 10. And then there's been some significant growth on the giving piece since that time. So, yeah, we're just really excited.
Now, I think Minnesota, even though it's like the maybe the 20th in size as far as districts in the Assemblies of God, it's the number one now in AGWM areas giving. Is that correct?
It is, Nick. Yeah, we were blessed to see. It's about a $4.6 million of growth in 2016. I think our AGWM areas giving was at $8.3 million, and this year it was, in spite of COVID, took another year of growth, was another year of growth, and we were at $12.9 million. So we're so excited, so grateful for what God is doing, and we have some incredible pastors across the state who are very passionate about what God's doing around the world.
I mean, that's just an amazing testimony of what God has done and is doing. And you're also, Minnesota is also doing very well in mission sending. I think number two, is that correct?
Yes. There's been some good growth over the last 4 years in that area. I don't know where we were ranking-wise in terms of the 66 districts, but I do know we've had growth. And today, as of today, we have 151 missionaries, AGWM missionaries and MAs, and we're at number two. I think Southern Missouri has 153. And,
wow.
So they're a step ahead of us, but 2021 is another year. We'll see what happens.
Both great districts, Southern Missouri and Minnesota. And wonderful. Yeah. Well, you know, just what God is doing in Minnesota is amazing. You know, I just wanted to talk to you about that some, and just, you know, about the role. What, you know, as a district superintendent, you played a role in that growth and that vision casting for missions. And maybe I'll just ask, what are, from your viewpoint, what is the role of a district superintendent with missions? What kind of role do you play in helping missions to be seen as important in the district?
Sure. The role we've been blessed to play is to, you know, serve and give some leadership to Minnesota pastors for decades before that to Minnesota youth pastors. And of course, yeah, many of them are now pastors. And so a couple specific things come to mind, Nick, as you ask that question. One is just to create culture, to create a culture, being just, hey, this is the way we do things around here.
Sure.
So I have an opportunity to speak into that. And what is it that we celebrate in terms of wins that helps us create culture? And then the other piece of that, maybe related to that, is to cast vision in terms of what is God's heart, what is God saying to us, what is God saying to the churches as a whole and to Minnesota as a whole. So we lean in on those and really look to Scripture for that. For me personally, Luke 19:10 really speaks of Jesus's his statement of direction here on earth, the mission statement where he said the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so that remains, that is the mission of the church as well as it was him personally. And so we've embraced that and just tried to create a culture that is a part of what we do and who we are.
It's amazing. And I'm sure that there have been some key things or initiatives that you've taken, some things you've done over the past few years to help cause growth and to help promote this culture of missions, this heart for missions in the district. Would you mind sharing just a few things?
Sure. A few things come to mind. One is we, as a district youth director prior and now as a superintendent, really have tried to take leadership onto the mission field and just give opportunities for exposure for leaders to step onto a mission field. And so as a DYD for years, we took our youth pastors on vision trips and we've carried that into the superintendent's role. We've been privileged to visit a number of nations with Minnesota lead pastors. And it has really, for me, been eye-opening, and for pastors as well, creating vision and allowing us to see the need. When we go, God does good things. We begin to see things differently.
Amen.
God begins to birth dreams in our hearts, and God shows us the need and gives us an opportunity to respond, shows us how to respond. So
yeah,
that's one of the areas.
Sure.
Another thing, I guess, would just be the general area of visibility and it would go hand in hand with casting vision,
right?
And giving exposure to leaders. A few different things come to mind as I just think about the visibility of missions and what God is wanting to do. One of the things that has allowed us to grow on the giving piece, I think, is the introduction or the facilitating of missions projects, being churches having an opportunity to sow into projects. Our number one assignment, I feel, as a church is to make it possible for us to have boots on the ground, our AGWM missionaries, and to support them first and foremost. But our potential is so far surpasses just doing that. And that is priority for us. And so as we've worked with many ministries that are parallel or a part of AGWM.
Sure.
We've taken time to introduce and provide opportunity for a connection with Convoy of Hope or Live Dead, which, of course, is a part of directly a part of AGWM. Priority One, Calcutta, World Serve, Global University, on and on, and just doing our best to build a bridge between those ministries and our pastors. And as they hear and see the vision of those ministries, that it has really raised the bar for us on the giving piece. Another thing with visibility is just to what I would call mining stories. I lived on the Iron Range for 10 years.
Yeah.
And so mining's a big part of the culture up there.
Sure.
But in Minneapolis, it continues to be part of the culture spiritually in that we look for stories,
right.
And then we want to be able to celebrate those wins. And so if it be as in Sauk Center, a little church, well, it's not that little town, and a church of 500 in Sauk Center, just up the highway here a bit, where it was the call of God was kind of the story related to that. The pastor there, Kyle, had came to me one day and just said, "Man, Mark, it was 9.5 years. Nobody was called out of our church."
Wow.
He said, "In the last 6 months, we've had six,
hallelujah,
including our youth pastor and his spouse." So we celebrate what God is doing in those instances. And we know if it can happen in one place,
right,
in Sauk Center, then all of us can have eyes to believe that it can happen in other places. So those stories, whether it be a little town like Staples, who is just consistently leads in per capita giving, and they only have 60 people in their church, not a big city, but they just crush it on per capita giving. I think it's up over 1,200 per person, and this has just gone on for year after year after year. They're just so committed, and there's a church. Well, story after story, you get the idea anyway.
Yeah.
Visibility, we mine those stories and share them. Along with that, I guess we have opportunities in every district function and every district gathering we have. We try to make room and make a priority for missions. So we just had our district council that had a priority place, and we brought our missionaries forward. We celebrated giving wins. We celebrated the call of God. And along with that, we have prayer and fasting on a sectional basis every month. We'll have 20 to 40 pastors that are showing up, and we invite missionaries to that. There's usually at least a handful of missionaries, and we'll pray globally. Something we did in Cairo with Live Dead is they kind of took us maps of the world, and so we have those, and we'll just, as pastors, we'll pray around the world, and there's always a missions focus there. And then at our prayer and fasting annual retreat for pastors, we had the privilege of commissioning 16 new missionaries this year.
Praise God.
So HEWM allowed that with COVID being kind of the
16.
The thing. Yeah. So, but yeah, 16. So whenever pastors gather, we try to have it be a focal point. And it really has been a celebration of just what God's doing when we are able to, sure, talk about some of those things.
Well, how has this Minnesota's emphasis on missions, especially world missions, impacted the churches here in Minnesota?
I think it is just such a positive thing for the starting point. It is God's heart. And so when we have God's heart as a church, collectively, corporately in Minnesota, the Minnesota district, and we recognize that our fellowship, this is what we were raised up to do and to be 107 years ago. It's what God called them to do, and they recognize that call. And so when we're obedient to what God has called us to do and to be, anything can happen. And then we really see that across Minnesota. There is a generosity that extends beyond missions, beyond ends of the earth missions. So generosity, we were just at district council this last week, and talking about, missions includes our Jerusalem and the excellence of reaching our local cities and excellence of ministry there. We talked about Samaria at this district council and the cultural hurdle that people that we have within our own state here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so as we presented a need, and there was just a wonderful response. I think it was over 22,000 that came in for a local church in the urban setting, Christ Church International.
Yeah.
So we're going to stand with Pastor Daryl Geddes there. So that the generosity, the unity of working together towards a common cause, and not just a cause, but the Lord's cause, his heart, his desire, really, when we come together in unity, in whatever cause, but especially his cause, God has already commanded his blessing over us. And so we just experience that blessing. I feel the unity within our district, Nick, is just so prevalent. There's not a competitive spirit. there is a competitive, we're competing together against the enemy for souls. And so that those, I think, are just all a growth, the outgrowth of missions as we work together on ends of the earth. We work together for Jerusalem and everything in between.
So you've sort of answered this, but with addressing the situation with, you know, with Christchurch and everything. But we have, as most people listening to the podcast will be very familiar, Minnesota has, the past year, been going through a challenging time, challenging season with the incidents with, you know, the terrible things that happened with George Floyd and difficulties. And yet it's been a both and from my experience. Mm-hmm. And I just, great to hear what you're saying as far as unity, a sense of unity. Would you speak any more? I guess that maybe some leaders might say, well, there's so many challenges in Minnesota right now, just right in your midst. How can you continue to think about the rest of the world? What would your, again, your reaction be to someone questioning the wisdom of looking outside of Minnesota when there have been challenges here?
Yes, there certainly have. And we acknowledge those, and the Lord directs us toward those as we've, you know, there's been a wake-up call for us in Minnesota and the church here, I believe, to pay a greater attention and focus to our cities, to the cultures within, and so the Samaria. And as we lean into that, the Lord always is ahead of us, and we are just in the process of as we've been praying, God, raise up laborers here. And seeing our shortcomings, the Lord has raised up. We have 5 new black pastors, church planters, within the last 10 months.
Praise God.
That will be planting in the metro area here. Some have already planted. And so we see what God does as we just pay attention to where he's leading us. You know, to answer the question, Nick, I would lean toward, as I look back over the years I've had the privilege of working with Minnesota pastors, the greatest miracles that we've experienced are when a lead pastor is engaged and involved. You know, I can try to direct and lead some things from my chair. People within a church can take on a heart for God's heart and the lost.
Sure.
But when a lead pastor grabs a hold and recognizes he needs to, or she needs to be a voice for this, incredible things start to happen. So God's calling, you know, Jesus's words to us weren't just Jerusalem.
Right.
Or don't, it was simultaneous. It was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so we're gonna attempt not to just wait to reach our own city, but to take a shot at all 4 at once and allow the Holy Spirit to cross this state. To some churches will lean a little more heavily towards Samaria. Some will lean a little heavier toward the ends of the earth. Some, all of us need to pay attention to our Jerusalem and our Judea. And so, but our greatest miracles are when some of our lead pastors have just really leaned in, and it doesn't happen overnight ever for anything worthwhile and lasting. But I look at like a Denny Curran, who is the River of Life in Cold Spring, is a wonderful, healthy rural church. My goodness, they've planted 6 other churches. They're numerically, they're strong. They're one of our top 5 or 6 giving churches in the district, and our top six churches in the district are in the top 60 in the nation. So
wow.
it's a healthy church. So Denny in the last month, I think it was, they had a missions focus, and it was for Convoy of Hope. They raised $320,000. That's incredible.
Amen.
Just incredible. So those things don't happen. That, you know, Denny has been had a missions heart for years, but it just keeps growing. What God's blessing keeps growing as we build a foundation that embraces missions. So as I've watched lead pastors or those who lead a student ministry, as they would lend their voice and their faith to what God wants to do, boy, it's then that God really seems to open the gates of heaven and just pour out blessing through the church.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. Well, appreciate so much your leadership in the district and in missions. And as we're concluding, would you like to share just something, anything you'd like to share to pastors who are just maybe involved in missions, but maybe they should be involved in more? I don't know. But you maybe some words you might say that might encourage missions and just involvement in the Great Commission.
Sure. This is what I believe God raised us up to be as a fellowship. And as a part of this fellowship, I am fully invested with my time, my efforts, my prayer efforts, and my pocketbook. This is where we're praying the Lord of the harvest. I believe every church in Minnesota and really in our fellowship can believe God for at least one to be called out of their church.
Wow.
And so as we believe for that, then we're praying for 1,000 from Minnesota. And we're quite a ways from that, but we're still working toward that end. And I would just encourage every pastor, as we're commanded to do in Scripture, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, and let's believe for at least one out of our church. And there's other pastors that are going to believe God for more than that, and some of them significantly more than that. But that's the fun of being a part of a fellowship. We just all do what God has put in our heart to do, and we get to do this as a team, as a ministry family. And so it's pretty special to look at what happens at the end of a day or the end of a year. God, as He works through us corporately and collectively. And so be a part of what God has called us to be and to do.
It's amazing. Well, again, thank you for all you've done for the kingdom and for missions around the world. It's great talking with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick. Fun to be together. Thanks much.
Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of the Antioch Initiative Podcast. We encourage you to follow us on whatever podcasting platforms you use the most. Feel free to check out our social medias to stay updated on all future content.